Go to the book of Ruth. We started out our series on Sunday night, and we're going to do it on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, eight messages over 4 weeks. We're going to begin to break this book down. Ruth chapter number one. I told you we're going to be following a simple outline. Ruth chapter number one. We find that our relationship is in Christ. In Ruth chapter number 2, we find that our redemption is found in Christ. In Ruth 3, we find that our rest is in Christ. And then in Ruth chapter number 4, we find that our reward is found in Christ. And Sunday night, we talked about our renouncement, and we dealt very heavily with the home in the first 5 chapters and the importance of a spiritual leader in the home. And as soon as Elimelech passed away, and of course he had led his family away from Bethlehem, Judah, into the land of Moab. Remember, they went from the promised land to a pagan land, and he thought that he could keep his family right. They continued there, according to verse number 2, and he continued to teach them the things of God. They continued to practice their faith, but as soon as he passed away, Mama let the boys marry whoever they wanted to marry, the pagans of the land, and we saw some corruption that took place there in the home, and so we dealt with all that. And if, of course, you missed that, go back, listen to that. The message is online, and so we dealt with our renouncement and the things that take place there in the first 5 verses. Tonight, we're going to deal with verses 6 through 15. We're going to look at our resolve and then our return. So just like the prodigal came to himself in Luke chapter number 15 and left the hog pen and went back to his father's house, we're going to see that Naomi comes to herself here in the middle of this chapter, and she makes a decision to return back to the homeland, return back to Bethlehem, Judah. But before she could get back to that area, there were some things that she had to correct, and there were some things that she had to do, and we're going to take a look at all of that tonight. So if you would read there, verse number 6 is where we're going to start. It says, "Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread." You see, the world still hears the blessings that come from the place of God, that come from the land of God. The world will always hear about the praises and the glory that God does for his children. And here she was out of the will of God. Here she was out in the world, and she had heard about the blessings that were happening in her homeland. In verse number 7, "Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return into the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband." So Mahlon and Chilion, remember, they got married. They lived there for 10 years before they passed. So they had roots that were there. They had homes that were built. They had established a life there in the world. And so here, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them. They lifted up their voice and wept. They said unto her, "Surely we will return with thee unto thy people." Naomi said, "Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husband? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes, that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." They lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. She said, "Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law." And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God." Let's go ahead and pray, and we're going to jump into this here. Father, we love you. We do thank you for the truth of the Word of God. Lord, help us to understand the importance, Lord, of staying faithful in your will. Lord, we saw Sunday night as we dealt with Elimelech leading his family away from the land that you had promised them, and went into a polluted land, into a pagan land, and began to prosper in his own goodness and in his own will, believing that he was trying to do right for his family. But Lord, all the while he had left your blessings. And Lord, he passed away, and his children were raised and in that pagan land, and We know we can move out of Egypt, but it takes a long time to get Egypt out of us and out of our children. And God, I pray that you'd help us to understand the importance of just being right with you and getting our lives back on track like it should be. As we look at Naomi here, making that pathway and those directions to get back into your will, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to see the truths we can apply to our lives as well. We love you. We'll praise you. We ask this in your name. Let me pray. Amen. Again, as we get through the book of Ruth, we're going to see a lot of the different things as far as redemption is concerned, as far as the grace of God, the goodness of God. And we'll see a lot of different pictures and symbols and types as well as we go through the book of Ruth. But in this first chapter, there's great importance that is placed on the home specifically. And we saw how Elimelech had left his family. And again, Sunday night, I'll give you the quick outline here. We covered the desperate circumstances and the famine that was in the land. And then we talked about the deadly consequences, the discipline from the home, the deaths that took place there in the home. And so we dealt with those issues in the first five verses. But now here, as we go from the renouncement and where they had come from and how they had gotten into the land there of Moab, now let's look at our resolve. So here, the Bible says in verse number 6, then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. So here we see a resolve that she had taken place in her heart. And again, as I stated earlier, I'm reminded of the prodigal son in the story there in Luke chapter 15, where the Bible says that he wasted his substance with riotous living. And he found himself established or committed to a person that was there in the pagan world. And he was sent out into the field and he fed the swine. And the Bible says that he would have fain have filled his belly with the husks of the swine, but he came to himself and he realized, is there not meat in my father's house? And does not my father have servants and enough to spare? And so there was a point in the prodigal's life where he had to come to the realization that he was in the wrong. He had to come to the realization that there was a better plan than his own plan. And here we see Naomi go through the same struggle in her life where she had followed the plan that her husband had given her. They had left the land of Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread. They had gone to Moab to try to find bread. They had gone to the world to get a blessing. And in the end, all they got was stress. All they got was trials. All they got was heartache. And here in verse number 6, Naomi realizes all the struggles they've gone through for the last 10.5 years up to that point. And they had been going through these trial after trial after trial. And the Bible says that she arose and she wanted to return from the country of Moab. She had realized that, hey, I've got to come to myself. I've got to come to my senses. I've got to go back to the place where I know the blessings of God were at. And in our Christian life, we've got to understand, you can never leave the will of God and go to the world and things get better in your life. They will always get worse. We've got to make sure that we leave the world. We've got to get a resolve deep inside of us that we come to ourselves and realize that our way is not the best way, but we've got to go back to the place that God intended for us to be at in the beginning here. Verse number 6, she returned from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab, how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. I want you to notice here our resolve that we find, and this is her resolve. Here we see her plans. She has a plan to leave where she is and go back to where the blessings are. But we also see at the end of verse number 6, we see the provisions that were made. Here we see that the blessings of God were in the land of Bethlehem, Judah. And by the way, listen, when there's a famine in the land, you don't leave God's blessings and God's place of protection to go and find bread. You stay where God is at. You stay where God has you. And you understand and you trust that God's going to provide for you in the place where there is a famine. And if they would have simply trusted God, if they would have simply stayed where God had them to begin with, then they would have never had to hear later on of all the blessings they were missing out on. Think about that. Here she was in the land of Moab. Who knows how long the land of Bethlehem, Judah had bread before she even heard about it. We know that news travels fast, but listen, news doesn't travel that fast. They didn't have social media. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have cell phones. Okay? So news only travels as fast as the legs move in this day and age, all right? And so here the news was not traveling as fast. And we understand here it may have taken some time for word to get back to the land of Moab of the blessings that were taking place in the land of Israel. But here we see the plan that she had. Here we see the provisions that God was giving and how God was providing. And she realized that she was missing out on the blessings of God. Now listen, when you're out of the will of God and you're in the land of Moab rather than in the land of Bethlehem, Judah, where we're supposed to be, you're going to be on the outside looking in and seeing how God is blessing other people's lives. And you're going to regret the situation that you've chosen. That's exactly what Naomi does. Here she saw the provision. And then I want you to notice in verse number 7, the Bible says, "Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah." I want you to understand here, not only we see her plans, not only do we see God's provision, but we also see that our passage back to God is a tough road to travel. Notice what happens. The Bible says in verse number 7, "She went forth out of the place where she was." And she had her two daughters-in-law. Because anytime you go to the world, you're going to pick up some baggage. Okay? Anytime you go to the world, you're going to pick up some things that you did not have before. And we see that take place here again and again. Verse number 7, the Bible says, "And they went on the way to return to the land of Judah." Think of it this way. When you're traveling to an area, in order to come back home, you got to travel the same path that you got. Correct? So if I were to come to the church, and I were to go to my house, I have a pathway that I travel back and forth. In order to get from one to the other, I've got to backtrack back the same direction. Okay? And so it's the same way here. They had left the land of Bethlehem, Judah. They had gone to the land of Moab, but she had to go back down the path that she had traveled years prior. She had to go back down and make the same journey that she made before, only this time she didn't have her husband. Only this time she didn't have two sons. Only this time they didn't have bright eyes and they didn't have wild ambitions and they didn't have all these plans and all these dreams and all these desires of what they were going to make themselves to be as a family. All she had now was regret. All she had now was all the baggage she carried before. All she had now was the bitterness and the hatred of, "I remember coming to this town with my husband, with my two sons. I remember how much Mahlon and Chilion liked this place. I remember how much my husband had talked about the view here." You can just imagine the conversation, just like you and your spouse would have. Just like we would have with our kids. You're driving from a place to and fro. Bro Thoreau, you and Mr. Thoreau have traveled back and forth from California on a couple of occasions. There's certain areas where you'll travel through and you'll remember, you'll point out. You remember when we went over there? You remember the sunset last time we were through here? You remember how beautiful it was and the time of year that it was? I can imagine that she's traveling from Moab to Bethlehem, Judah. All those thoughts are coming back. And now she doesn't have her husband with her. Now she doesn't have her sons with her. She has all these regrets. So understand that when you travel the path to get right with God, understand that that path, that road that you're going to travel is going to be a tough road. It's going to be a hard road. Just like Abraham, when he went down, he journeyed on still toward the south at the end of Genesis chapter 12, and he went down to Egypt. When he left Egypt, he had to journey the same direction to get back to Bethel where he had left God. And Naomi here had to return the same way. Our passage back to God is a tough one. It's a hard one. It's going to take some time. By the way, now she's traveling alone. And here in a moment, we're going to see that she's traveling with Ruth. She doesn't have a man to lead her. She doesn't have young boys to pick up things on the road or to guide the way. It's going to take her a little bit longer to get back to where she was. And in your Christian life, when you leave the will of God and you go to the world, the journey back is going to take longer than you expect. It's going to take longer than you expect. It's going to be harder than you anticipated. Remember, she's 10 years older now than she was before. And you know, as you get older, you don't move as fast, right? Things don't operate as well. You got to make a little bit more pit stops, amen. The passage was tough. And the longer you stay out of the will of God, the tougher it is to get back right with God. I want you to notice here in verse number 8, the plea that was given. "Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house, and the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me." Here, We see that Naomi is telling the two daughter-in-law, and this is by way of custom, that because their husbands had died, they were not bound by law to stay with their mother-in-law. They could go back to their old life. They could go back to the way that things were. They could stay in their land. They're not bound by any kind of custom, whether it be Jewish or Gentile at this time. They're not bound by any custom to be stuck with their mother-in-law. They can choose what family they want. They can go back to the family they had because the marriage has been nullified through death. So they weren't bound to her. Here she's telling them to go back to where they came from. She's doing it in a respectful manner, but I want you to notice here the plea that's made. You see, when you try to make the journey back to God, you're going to have to leave some things that you gained in the world. You got to leave them in the world. We can't take those things from the world and bring them back into the house of God or back into the will of God and think that God is going to be okay with all of that. We can't take the practices of the world and bring them back into the will of God and think that God is going to accept those as sacrificial. We can't take the people and the places of the world and all the different things that we did while we experienced in the world. We can't bring all of that back with us. We've got to forsake some things. By the way, that's part of separation in our Christian lives. When God saves us, when God redeems us, God wants us to leave the world in the world. And God wants to make a new life in Him. Here, there's a plea that she makes. And the plea is to go back to where you're from. You've dealt kindly with me all this time, but I've got to go back to the will of God. And I've got to get myself right. Then you'll notice in verse number 9, the prayer that was made. Here she says, the Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Now she kissed them and they lifted up their voice and wept. Here she's praying to them, just please stay here. Let me go back. She's making some decisions here to get back into the will of God. And then you'll notice the preference that was given in verse number 10. They said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. You know, there's going to be some times where you cannot get rid of certain things that you've grown attached to while you were in the world. We talk a lot about the baggage that was gotten in the world. And I mentioned it on Sunday night that when Abram went down to Egypt, he had gotten all the servants. He had gotten Hagar. He had gotten all the cattle. He had gotten all the different riches while he was there. And when he left Egypt, all of that stuff came with him. And all that stuff led to the contentions between him and his nephew Lot, which eventually drove Lot away from him. That's why Lot and Abram had to separate from one another because their herdsmen were fighting. The contentions were great among them. And it could be, again, my opinion, it could be the contentions were great among them because all of Abram's able-bodied men were trained in his home. And he had trained them in the ways of God. And all the herdsmen that they had gotten from Egypt weren't trained in the ways of God. And they began to practice their pagan practices. And Abram's herdsmen and servants weren't going to have that in his land. And it could be that's what led to some of those contentions. I don't believe that's a stretch of the truth. I don't believe that's far from speculation. I believe that that really could have happened that way. If we study out the different customs of the land. Because the things that the Egyptians did were far from the things that the Israelites did at that time. They worshiped different gods. They served different gods, different deities. And here, Abraham and Lot, they had contentions and that drove them away from each other. But still, it led to many problems in their lives. Why? Because the baggage they got from Egypt. Here, Naomi's trying to leave the land of Moab. She realizes she can't because she's got so much that she's carrying with her. She tries to leave some of it there. But then Ruth and Orpah both cry out and say they don't want her to leave. There's going to be times where when you go to the world and you leave the will of God, there's going to be a drawing from the world to keep you there. Are we listening? There's going to be a pulling from the things of the world to keep you out of the will of God. Here we see that in Naomi's life. So here we see the resolve that Naomi has. But then I want you to notice the return that she begins. The return. In verse number 11, she says here, well, in verses 11 through 13, we see the questions that she's given and the statements that she makes here to Ruth and to Orpah. And I want you to notice here in Naomi's life and from Naomi's perspective, we see the struggling defeat of a woman. Here we see the defeat that she is faced with. In verse number 11, we see the defeatism or the defeat mentality, the defeated mentality. Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my wombs that they may be your husbands? She's literally saying to them, what more can I do for you? I've already given you everything that I have. What more do you want from me? And by the way, when you realize that the world is a taker and not a giver, you're going to realize the same thing, that the world is trying to pull more and more and more from you when you have nothing else to give to the world. And all the times when you're trying to get right with God, you're trying to get back on track for the Lord, the world is trying to pull you back, and the world is trying to draw you back, and those friends are calling you and say, hey, why don't you go out partying with me? And the friends are trying to get a hold of you, and they're trying to bring you back to the old lifestyle, and you've got to have some resolve. You've got to have some grit and some guts about yourself, and you've got to return back to the Lord. But here, she's struggling with some defeat. She was discouraged. She was depressed. And we're going to see that here. But we see her defeated mentality in verse 11. She literally says, what more can I do for you? What more do you want? Verse number 12, she says, turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I'm too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons. Here, she has discouragement. She said, listen, I'm too old to have a husband. I'm too old to try this again. I've got to get back to where I know I'm supposed to be. I can't linger here any longer. The discouragement that she's faced. She realizes she can't do anything else. By the way, Naomi goes through a whirlwind of emotions in this first chapter. She had the loss of a husband. 10 years later, her sons passed away. And now she realizes that the land of Bethlehem, Judah, has got all these blessings and she's missed out on it all this time. She could have had the blessings of God. And then she realizes she starts trying to make the journey back to Bethlehem, Judah. She realizes she can't. She realizes the situation that she's in. She realizes the things that are binding her to this place. So here she's discouraged. She understands there's nothing more to give. There's nothing more that she could do. Verse 13, it says, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Here she asked them the question. She said, listen, if I have a husband, if I have more sons, are you going to wait another 13 to 20 years for them to grow up, to mature, to be able to be a spouse to you? No, they weren't going to wait. Would you stay from them having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieves me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Notice she recognizes here that this is the judgment of God on her life and on her family's life. But I want you to notice here, not only is she defeated in verse 11, not only is she discouraged in verse number 12, she's completely depressed in verse number 13. But she realizes, right here at the end of the verse number 13, she realizes and she says, listen, I apologize and I'm sorry that this has happened to you because the hand of the Lord's come against me. She said, this is the judgment of God on my family for leaving the place that God intended for us to be. The fact that we left Bethlehem, Judah, and we came here. Yes, there were things that happened, and yes, my sons married y'all, and they went against the training that they were taught. But listen, all of this happened, and this is judgment that's happening on my family. She's trying to tell them, listen, you're just a catalyst for this judgment. This judgment's happening. The struggle's real, and the struggle's happening here. And you've been a part of it. Here she says, it grieves me much. For your sakes. Because listen, a true child of God will recognize when the judgment of God's coming in their lives. And here she had been in the world, and although she was in the world, and she had been away from God all this time, she still recognized when God was working in her life. She still recognized the judgment when it came. She still understood what God was doing. And because of that, she was able to be a witness and to tell Ruth and Orpah about the judgment that God was doing in her life. But then I want you to notice, after she mentions this, this is here in verse 13. She has this state of discouragement and depression. Here in verse number 14, we see not just the struggling defeat of a woman, but now we see the swift deterrence of a woman. The Bible says they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Here we see that Orpah took and she left her mother-in-law. She realized What she was saying was true. And what she was saying was right. That yes, the judgment of God was coming on her family. And Orpah, as a daughter of Moab and somebody who was not willing to change her pagan practices to go to the land of Bethlehem, Judah. She simply wanted to go there. And you could read into this. But she simply wanted to go there because that's where the blessings were. And there's a lot of people who are willing to go somewhere where the blessings are, even though they don't believe everything that everybody believes there. You're going to see times where there's going to be people that are willing to come to church. And they'll come here, even though they don't believe like we do, they'll come here just to get the blessings. It's just like when Jesus Christ had all those that were following him. Well, Brother Roberto, it was there in John chapter number 6. Brother Schiff will preach that message about the fish, right? People, do you want to know what are you going to do for a fish sandwich, right? You're going to follow the Lord just for the miracles. Just for the miracles. And there's going to be times where people are going to follow after the Lord, or they may even cleave unto you and follow after you because you're following the Lord, because the blessings of God may be upon your life. But here, as soon as Orpah realized that it's not all blessings all the time and that sometimes it's going to be judgment, she said, I'm out of here. And Orpah, she said, the Bible says she kissed her mother-in-law, but then the Bible says, but Ruth clave unto her, which tells me that Ruth realized Naomi, even though she's not right with God, Naomi has something that I want in my life. Naomi has something that's missing in my life. Because even as a child of God, when you're out of the will of God, people can still tell whether or not you're a believer. And that will either deter them from Christ, or that will be a catalyst that God will use to coax you to get right with God. And here the Bible says that Ruth clave unto her. So I want you to notice there was a deterrence of a woman. That was Orpah. She deterred. She left. But then we see the sincere determination of another. And that's Ruth. Here she clave unto her mother-in-law. Here Ruth realized that even though Naomi had not been everything that she should have been for the glory of God, it must have been somewhere along the lines when Ruth was married to one of Naomi's sons. It must have been somewhere along the lines that he began to implement some of the biblical truths that he was taught in his home. Because even though they had left Bethlehem Judah, remember in verse number 2, the Bible says that they continued therein. Meaning that Elimelech continued to teach his family the ways of God. And he continued to make sure they had family devotions. And they continued to have family altars. And they continued to have some kind of family spiritual leadership in the home. But as soon as he died, Mama let the boys do whatever they wanted. And they left and they went after the Moabitess women. But even though they went after the Moabite women, they couldn't forget what Daddy taught them. It was still there. Because you train your children right. And even if they run from the will of God, the Bible talks about in the book of Romans how they'll have a conscience that will either accuse them or excuse them. And when you teach them the Word of God and you teach them the will of God and they begin to make decisions on their own, they're going to be much like that prodigal. They're going to come to themselves and realize, this isn't what I was taught. I know I'm not doing right. I know I'm not living right. I need to get right with God. And here we see there's a determination of Ruth. And here Ruth cleaves unto her mother-in-law. We see a departure from Orpah, but we see devotion from Ruth. Ruth wanted a little bit of what Naomi had. Evidently, Naomi had a little bit of spirituality still left in her. She was bitter. She was depressed. She was not right with God. She was on the journey to get right with God. She was making the decisions to leave the land of Moab to get back to Bethlehem, Judah. But you'll notice here that Ruth devoted herself to Naomi. And then notice what Ruth says and what Naomi says here. Verse 15, and she said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. Here Naomi says, look, Orpah's already left. She's already practicing all the paganism again. She's already left and gone back to her false gods. She's left everything that was taught. She wants nothing to do with the things of God. Why don't you just go back and continue to be in a Moabitess? Again, the Moabites were the ones who were cursed. Moabites were the ones who were anti-God. They were the ones who were anti-Israel. hold your place here. Go back to Genesis. Let me show you something. I make this connection, and I want you to see this connection because I want you to understand it as well. Genesis chapter 19. I've mentioned a lot about Abram and about Lot, but I want you to see this for yourself because these stories are interconnected. They're literally intertwined because the Moabites are descendants of Lot and his incestuous relationship with his daughter because of his time in Sodom and Gomorrah. Because his uncle took him down to Egypt and he couldn't get Egypt out of his nephew. Okay? These are all side effects. See, if we don't teach and train our young people right, if we don't take and invest in our kids, if we don't monitor the things that they're involved in, it's going to be a long time to get Egypt out of their lives. Genesis chapter number 19. Look at verse 32. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father. He perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. It came to pass on the morrow, the firstborn said to the younger, behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also. And go thou in and lie with him that we may preserve seed of our father. They made their father drink wine that night also. The younger arose, lay with him. He perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. Again, an incestuous relationship right here. Notice what your Bible says in verse 37. The firstborn bare a son and called his name what? Moab. The name of the father of the Moabites unto this day. Like I said, these stories are intertwined. These stories are connected. That's why I mention it over and over again. Because your decisions that you make when you lead your family away from the will of God and you begin to pursue ventures that you want to do rather than what God wants you to do, they have side effects. They always have side effects. And the Bible says, and the younger bare him a son and called his name Ben-Ami. His name was father of children of Ammon unto this day. So the Moabites and then the Ammonites. Here we're in the book of Ruth now. Ruth is a Moabitess. Her whole culture came from an incestuous relationship. Her whole culture came from Lot living in the land of Sodom and being out of the will of God. That's her heritage. That's where she comes from. She realizes the sin. She realizes the difference that Naomi and Elimelech and Mahlon and Chilion were. She realizes, even though they were out of the will of God, she realizes this is an opportunity to leave this place. Okay? And she cleaves to Naomi. She has some determination. We're going to see redemption here in just a moment in her life. We're going to see where she gets saved, where she trusts Christ here in just a moment. I'm going to say this, and please don't take this the wrong way. Understand, Naomi's out of the will of God. Okay? But God can take a bad situation and make something good out of it. Now, that's not carte blanche, and that doesn't give us a license to go and live however we want to live. And say, well, God can do anything, God can work it all out. No, listen, I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is God can take our mistakes, and God can fix them, and God can bring something good out of that. You put manure in a garden. You begin to cultivate it with the ground. And you take something bad and you can grow something good, right? Here, God can take a situation where we have gotten out of His will and God can bring glory to Himself. Now, that doesn't negate the judgment of God that came on Naomi's life. Because judgment still came. That doesn't absolve her from the responsibility that she had to continue the journey to get right with God. But also, that doesn't fix all the time that she lost while she was out of the will of God. And by the way, we'll talk about that Sunday night a little bit. When she gets back to the land of Bethlehem, Judah, everybody can see the change the world made in her. Everybody can see how far away from God she had gotten. so much to the point to where she doesn't even want to be known as Naomi anymore. And she wants her name to be changed because God dealt bitterly with her. Because everybody around her saw how far she had strayed away from God. But here I want you to notice the desire and the dedication of Ruth. Orpah goes back into her gods, but Ruth says in verse 16, Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee." Notice here, "For whither thou goest, I will go. And whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people." And notice this last part of the verse, "And thy God, my God." This is where Ruth trusts Christ. This is where she trusts God. This is where she's willing to leave everything that she was raised in. She's willing to leave the filth of the world and the recklessness of the world and the incestuousness of what she was raised in. And she says, "There's got to be something better in my life. There's got to be something better for me." It's just like when we came to God, amen. We realized God saved us out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, that God set our feet upon a rock, that God gave us some stability in our lives, that God may have used a difficult situation to bring us out of the world and unto Himself. Now here, God does that with Ruth. But I want you to understand that Naomi here, she had renounced her faith in the first five chapters when they had left the land of Bethlehem, Judah. Here she had resolve to get right with God. And then we see the return and she begins to make the journey back to the will of God. We're going to finish up chapter number one on Sunday night. But I want you to understand, listen, when you get out of the will of God, and you begin that journey back, it doesn't matter how long you've been out of the will of God, the journey doesn't get any easier. It doesn't get any easier. As a matter of fact, it gets more difficult the longer you're out of the will of God. You ever notice how when you miss a service, it's easier to miss the next one? Or am I the only one? When you miss something, or when you sleep in one day, it's easier to do it the next day. Why? Because we give into the flesh a little bit. And when the flesh gets the victory, the flesh wants more and more and more. And the flesh always wants more. The flesh is never satisfied. The book of Proverbs in chapter number 30 deals with some things that are never satisfied. The grave is one of them. It says it is never enough. There's some things in your life that will never be satisfied. And when you leave the will of God and you go to the world, you're never going to be satisfied with the world. You're never going to be satisfied with giving in to the flesh. You're never going to be satisfied with following after the Moabites. Because it's in the land of Bethlehem, Judah where the bread's at. Again, Bethlehem, Judah means house of bread. In the famine, if they would have just stayed where God intended for them to be, they'd have never faced all the sorrow. They'd never faced all the heartache. I know some of you are thinking, yeah, but Ruth would have never got saved. You know, God could have used anybody to save Ruth. They didn't have to wreck their family in order to get to Ruth. God used them. And God used that situation. But don't think that you've got to wreck and ruin your family in order to get somebody saved. That doesn't happen that way. You don't have to wreck and ruin your life in order to have a testimony. One of the greatest testimonies, and I know we mention it time and again and talking even with several of you, many times we have, as what Paul said in the book of 2 Corinthians, that many times we're going to be jealous over our children with a godly jealousy because they have opportunities that we didn't have. Because they're being raised in a Christian home. You're trying your best. They're being raised in a godly environment. I think it was just Sunday night? It was Sunday night. Somebody told me, "I wish I would have had a pastor when I was your age that would have told me those truths and the warnings about my family." Listen, we need to understand we got to continue raising our children here in the land of bread, in Bethlehem, in the center of the will of God. And don't think that leaving the will of God is going to bring joy and happiness to your family. Pursuing after money and pursuing after a job, pursuing after your own way is going to bring nothing but regret and heartache in your life. That's what we see with Ruth. Elimelech led his family away from the will of God. And now, all that's left is a wife trying to get back to the will of God. No husband, no children, and baggage that she got from Moab. As a child of God, we've got to understand, when you leave the will of God, you've got to come to yourself like the prodigal did, but you've got to make that long journey home. You study the prodigal in Luke chapter 15. None of his friends were to be found to bring him home. That journey home was by himself. That unction to get back to the Father's house was self-guided, meaning that there was nobody to stir the fire in his life. And here in Naomi's life, there's nobody to stir that fire. There's nobody to build that confidence. There's nobody to pursue that relationship with God. She's got to be a self-starter. Because when you leave the will of God, nobody in the world's going to encourage you to get back right with God. The world's going to encourage you that you made the right decision. Because the world's going to take care of his own. The wicked blesseth the covetous, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 3. And boasteth of his heart's desire. See, the world's going to try to prevent you from getting back to God. Here, Naomi begins to make her return back to God. Right in the middle of it all. And I think this is a little booster shot for her. Ruth trusts Christ. She says, thy God's going to be my God. I'm going to follow after you. I'm going to follow after your God. Because he's still real in your life. 10 years later. Because you recognize that you're here and the judgment of God has poured into your life. But even though you realize that God is judging you, you realize, listen, Naomi realized, even though God was judging her, God still loved her enough to want her back. And Ruth, as a pagan, realized her gods couldn't do that for her. Her gods couldn't do that. Because even in the midst of judgment, what does the world have to go to? Nothing else. But you see, when God chastises us and when God judges us, we know that we're his sons and daughters, according to Hebrews chapter 12. We know that he's doing it because he loves us, not because he's mad at us. He wants us to get right. He wants that sweet fellowship. And yes, there's going to be some anger that's there. Yes, he's going to be upset with us, just like a father will be upset with their child for the wrongdoing. And the discipline must be done. But she realized that even though God was judging Naomi, that Naomi realized God still loved her and he wanted her back. And Ruth wanted that. Think about that. Ruth wanted that. She knew her pagan gods couldn't do that for her. So they make the journey back. Sunday night we're going to talk about what happens when Naomi gets back to Bethlehem, Judah. And we're going to talk about the resolve that happens in her life and the change that takes place. But we're also going to begin to talk about Ruth and now the salvation that takes place in her life. Because she realized that the world had nothing more to offer her. Listen, when you realize the world has absolutely nothing to offer you, and you begin to make your journey back to the will of God, back to the Word of God, back to your prayer altar, back to your time with God, you let God do the work in your heart and in your life, and you just watch and see what God does. And we're going to see that in Ruth's life here in just the next couple of weeks. Stand with me, if you would, with heads bowed, with eyes closed. Naomi begins to make the journey back to God. She makes the journey back to Bethlehem, Judah. She resolved some things, and then she began to return. And right there, when she returns, when she makes that choice, Ruth finds redemption. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you.